Welcome to the Potter's House North podcast. We hope you'll be blessed by today's message.
Within the last few weeks, we have learned of the death of a young black man whose name was Ahmaud Arbery. He was out on a jog. He was going through the neighborhood jogging, and he was, you know, and I know that he was brutally gunned down by two white men. And it was a father and it was a son. And these two men went without being arrested for an entire 2 months. And I'm not sure that they ever would have been arrested had a video not surfaced, a video that outraged the entire world. And it should have outraged the entire world, because none of us should be content to live in a world where things like that can happen and they be ignored. None of us want to live in a world like that. None of us want to live and have to turn on the television set and watch someone put their knee on somebody's neck and squeeze the very life out of them. Nobody should be able to do that and us just say it is okay, especially when you have been sworn to protect those who you come in contact with. But we watched it this week. We watched the life be squeezed out of a man, all because of, I mean, I'm just going to call it what it is. I'm going to say it is the sin of partiality. We should not only be outraged and heartbroken for Ahmaud Arbery and his family and George Floyd and his family and all of the other men and women whose lives were taken way too soon, but we should be outraged at the injustice and the racism that has been allowed to go on in the world that we live in for way too long. This is more than just bias. Okay, let's say that. This is more than just bigotry. It's more than just prejudice. It's more than just partiality. Let me call it what it really is. This is something that is called sin. The Bible calls it the sin of partiality. Now, I know that none of us actually think that there is any prejudice within ourselves, but before you just kind of blow this away and act like it doesn't apply to you, let me just ask you a few questions. I want to ask you a question today. Are you quick to judge people whose hair might be a different color than you're used to looking at? Are you quick to judge people whose hairstyle might be different than what you see on a daily basis? What about body piercings? Are we quick to judge people who have body piercings? Are we quick to judge people who have tattoos all over their body? What about people that dress completely different than you? You wouldn't wear it. And when you see people that have something on that you wouldn't wear, do you kind of judge them quickly? Okay, let me come to where some of us are. What about people that are overweight? Do you judge them because they are overweight? Too heavy? What about because they're too thin? What about immigrants? Are we quick to judge those who are immigrants? What about people that are younger than you? Are you quick to judge somebody simply because they're young? And you just want to discount them, that think that they have nothing to say in the conversation? Or let me say it this way. What about people that are older than you? Do you have this thing in you that makes you quick to want to dismiss somebody because they're not in your age bracket? My mama would say, trust me, you'll get old too one day. What is it about us? Are we quick to judge people that are of a different religion than we are? What about judging people who make more money than you do? What about people who make less money than you do? Do you look down on them? If you do, then that is what the Bible calls the sin of partiality. And let me tell you something. It is a big deal to God. It is a big deal to God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 10 and 17, for the Lord your God is the God of gods, and he is the Lord of lords, and he is the great God. He is the mighty and the awesome God who shows no partiality, and he cannot be bribed or he cannot be corrupted. 2 Chronicles 19:7 says, fear the Lord and judge with integrity. For the Lord our God does not tolerate perverted justice, partiality, or the taking of bribes. God does not tolerate it. He does not tolerate injustice. He does not tolerate partiality. He does not tolerate corruption. And if he doesn't tolerate it, then we should not tolerate it either. Why doesn't God tolerate it, Pastor Brady? Because it's all unfair, and it is all dishonest, and it is all selfish, and the Bible calls it sinful. It is sinful. I want to read to you, James addresses a whole lot of what we're talking about today. And in James, I'm going to read to you out of the English Standard Version, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And it says, James says, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing, and you say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or you sit down at my feet, then you, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who were poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, then you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then you are doing well. But if you show, there's that word, partiality, you are committing sin. If you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. James is giving us a clear, very clear example here of what prejudice looks like. Can I tell you today that God hates prejudice? One of the reasons that God hates prejudice, write this down, is because, number one, prejudice challenges what God has created. I said prejudice will challenge what God has created. And let me just remind you that the reason we are all here and we are different, the reason that we are different colors and different shapes and different sizes and different races and different genders, we are that on purpose because God created us that way. I didn't come up with that idea. God came up with that idea. And our differences, quite frankly, keep us from being bored. Our differences, quite frankly, are what makes us beautiful. When we come together, it is the diversity of God that makes us a beautiful sight to behold. And anyone who thinks that God should have made the entire world to look like you, you are displaying an intolerance expression of pride and of arrogance and of narcissism, and you are saying that you know more than God when it comes to what the creation of the world should actually look like. Whew. Acts 17:26 says, from one man he made all nations. From one man, Adam, he made all nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. Can I tell you today that God is a God of diversity. And anytime I can think less of somebody that he has created than I do of myself, and I am forgetting who made me. God is a God of diversity. The Bible says this is one day that I need a whole lot of amen corner, and I ain't got one, but that's okay. I'm going to preach anyhow today. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 4:7, who says that you are better than anyone else? What do you have that you didn't receive? If you received it, then why are you bragging as if you did not receive it? Who says that anybody is better than anybody else? And what do you have that God himself did not give to you? At the end of the day, anything you have, anything that you are, was because of the goodness of God in our life. Can I tell you that this is not about a black race? What's happening in our nation is not about a black race. It's not about a white race. It's not about a Hispanic race. It's not about Koreans or Asians or any other race. God made every last one of us. This is about the human race. This is about a spirit from hell that has wanted to divide the human race that God made, that God set in order, that God instituted. And we got to wake up and realize that no matter what color our skin might be, we are brothers and we are sisters. The human race is what matters. And anytime we are prejudiced, then what we are doing is we are rejecting what God himself has created. The second reason that God hates prejudice is because prejudice is a sin of ignorance. Prejudice is a sin of ignorance. Anytime I reject or anytime I disrespect someone because they don't look like I look, what that says is I am just ignorant. 1 John 2:11 says, but whoever hates his brother is in darkness and he does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. On the other hand, James 3:17 says, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving. It is gentle at all times, and it is willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism, and it is always sincere. The wisdom that comes from God shows no favoritism. I know sometimes I laugh and I'll say I am his favorite child, but the truth is God doesn't show favoritism, not to you, not to me, not to people in America, not to people in South Africa, not to people in different regions of the world. God loves all of us, and being free from prejudice, according to what James said right there, is the mark of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. Can I tell you today that knowledge is what shows up when you have tests, but wisdom is what has to show up in your relationships. I said knowledge shows up when you have a test, but wisdom has got to show up in relationships. And when I have a relationship with somebody that I treat less than they deserve to have, then guess who is the fool? I am the full, because we were all made in the likeness and the image of God. So God hates prejudice because, number one, it challenges his creation. Number two, he hates it because it's a sign of ignorance. Number three, he hates prejudice because it completely ignores the great commandment. Hear me today, church. We cannot ignore the great commandment of God. Somebody said, what is the great commandment? Jesus summarized all of his laws up in one scripture, and Paul repeats it in Galatians. And Paul says, the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. What is it? To love your neighbor as yourself. But if you keep attacking each other, he said, like wild animals. You had better watch out, because you will destroy yourselves. If you keep attacking each other, God says you are not just hurting the person that you're attacking. You will ultimately destroy your own life. Can I tell you today, church, that I am thoroughly convinced now more than ever that the church, which is the body of Christ, which is the family of God, which are the sons and the daughters of God, I am thoroughly convinced that we are called to be the answer to injustice in the earth. We are called to be the answer to bias. We are called to be the answer to bigotry. We are called to be the answer to racism and sexism and every other partiality that you can imagine. It is our job, and it is time for the world and the church, for the church to stand up and show the world what it means to be able to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Loving your neighbor. They asked, well, who is your neighbor? Because they didn't want to have to love everybody. Your neighbor is humankind. So God hates prejudice. Number four, he hates it. And the reason that we got to continue to fight it is because the sin of partiality, it is a prejudice that is a sin. Okay, this is a sin. Do you hear me today? I'm talking to church people. I'm talking to whoever's listening, but this is a sin. It's not just something that we shouldn't do. Partiality is and prejudice is not just something that upsets God or that disappoints God or that frustrates God with us. No, let me tell you something. Prejudice, partiality is what the Bible calls a sin. It is a sin, and it is a sin that God himself will not tolerate. James 2:8 says, your calling is to fulfill the royal law of love as given to us in the scripture, that says you must love and value your neighbor as you love and value yourself. Keeping this law is the noble way to live. But when you show prejudice, you commit sin. When you show prejudice, you commit sin and you violate the royal law of love. The sin of prejudice is not a minor issue to God. I want everybody to hear me. I want people my color to hear me. I want you to hear me loud and clear, that when we violate the law of God that says love your neighbor, your Asian neighbor, your black neighbor, your Hispanic neighbor, your white neighbor, love them as yourself. And if you don't do that, we have violated the laws of God, and you don't have a right, and I don't have a right to walk around and call myself Christians when I violate the law of God. It is a sin, and we got to get it out of our hearts. Hear me today, church. We got to get it out of our hearts, because one day we will all stand before the King of Kings, and we will have to give an account for the bias that we have allowed to stay hidden and harbored deep in the heart, deep in our hearts. So how do I do that, Pastor Brady? How do I root prejudice out of my life? Well, obviously, this is a topic that is so much bigger than one message. But hopefully today, let me tell you, first of all, let me say something to the Potter's House of North Dallas. You, the very fact that you come into this church and you give me the opportunity every Sunday morning, the very fact that you turn on this church and say, I'm a part of the Potter's House North, that woman right up there is my pastor. Can I tell you, my God, how huge that is? And can I tell you that I will never take that for granted? But I do want to challenge you that if there are other areas in our heart, and if there are other areas in our lives that maybe we don't recognize are there, we need to take some action steps to get them out of us, because we are the church. Do you understand? You and I, we are the church. We need those action steps that root all of that stuff out of us. We need those action steps that make us go into our prayer closet and fall on our face and say, God, I want you to forgive me from any hidden sin. Step number one, examine your heart. Examine your heart. Say, God, old folks used to say it like this, Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, drive it out of me, God. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. You have to admit it. If it's in you, admit it. If it's in you on any level, admit that that is in you. The second action step is repent. Just cry out to God, Lord, if the sin of partiality is in me, oh, maybe it's that. If it's in us, we must admit it, because God don't want us to be ignorant. Ask him, number three, ask him to help us. Ask him to help you. Let's make it personal. Ask him, number one, examine your heart. Number two, if it's there, repent. Number three, ask him to help you to not be ignorant. Ask him to hold you accountable on every level. Ask him to hold you accountable. And I want to challenge those of you that are watching me today. Hold those in your world accountable. Hold them accountable. That joke, it wasn't funny. It's not funny anymore because too many people are dying like dogs in the street. I ain't laughing at you. Don't say it like that in my presence. If that's how you are, you can't be where I am. Hold people accountable. Educate yourself. Educate those in your world. Stop treating people less than they deserve to be treated. Who are we to do such a thing? Number four, this is vital. Learn how to see people like God sees them. Learn how to see them like God sees them. Well, how does God see them? You know what it is. 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord does not look on the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart. Listen, not only are books judged by their cover, not only are houses judged by their curb appeal, but people are judged. They're judged how they look. They're judged how they behave. They're judged how they dress. They're judged for the way that they talk. But Jesus said in John 7, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. Which says to me that judging by an appearance is not the correct way to do it. What he's saying to us there, he's saying, stop being so shallow. Look beneath the surface of somebody's life, because that's the only way you'll be able to judge anybody correctly. Because when you see them in the surface of their life, then that means you're looking at them like I look at them. Let me close with this. I said it earlier. I believe that God's plan is to bring people together from all walks of life. Different people in the upper room. They all spoke different languages. It wasn't that they all looked the same or they all talked the same. They all spoke different languages. But it was the Holy Spirit that was able to make them one. To speak a language that everybody understood. God has a plan to bring his people together. It is called the church. It is called the family of God. It is called, let's narrow it down a little bit. It's called the Brady family. It's called your family. It's called the Potter's House North family. We are called, church, to model unity. We are called to model reconciliation. We are called to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are called to be a people that's united, that the rest of the world can look at and see. Paul explains that in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, when he says, some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. It's quiet out there. Oh, that's because nobody's here, okay. Verse 27, he says, you are the body of the Anointed One. Listen to that. You, I dare you to put your hand on yourself and say, I am the body of the Anointed One. I am the body of the Anointed One. And each of you is a unique and a vital part of that body. I want to tell you today that you are needed in the family of God. Yes, you. You are needed in the family of God. Why? Because none of us will be complete until we can all come together. You have gifts. I have gifts. None of us have everything. But it's when your gifts come and my gifts come and their gifts come and we all come together and we bring our gifts and we lay them out down at the table and we just say, God, use us for your glory. That is how we model reconciliation to the world. We can't model reconciliation by ourselves. So therefore, God sometimes will put people in your life that don't look like you, that don't think like you, and don't act like you. But there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that because he's wanting you to model something that the world doesn't get. He's wanting you to model brotherly love. And let me say this and I'll close. Our identity is found in our relationships. There is a crisis of identity in our world today. Never have I heard people say it more. Who am I? I don't know who I am. I don't know what I have. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what gender am I? Where do I fit? Where is my place in this world? And the reason people are struggling like that is because when relationships break down, people don't know who they are. Relationships are vital. Galatians 3 teaches us, however, that when we are saved, here's who we are. We are part of the family of God. So for those of you that didn't know who you were, when you come to know Jesus, then that's where your real identity comes from. So now, the Bible says in Galatians 3 and 26, so now, what do you mean so now? Now that you're saved, you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. There is no longer Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one. Where are you one at? In Christ Jesus. So when you accept Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus as your Savior, you become a part of the church. You become a part of the family of God. And when that happens, your identity is no longer found in your nationality. Your identity is no longer found in your economic status. Your identity is no longer found in your race. Your identity is no longer found in gender. If I've been saved by the blood of Jesus, then my primary identity is the fact that I belong to God. I'm a part of God's family. I'm a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end of the day, that's what really matters. If you don't know who you are, can I introduce you to Jesus? Because there you will find out where you fit. The Living Bible says in this new life, one's nationality or race or education or social position is unimportant. Such means nothing. Whether a person has Christ is what matters, and he is equally available to us all. That right there, that he is equally available to the rich, to the poor, to the black, to the white, to the Hispanic, to the Asian, to all the nations of the world. He is available to us all. That right there, my friend, is what reconciliation actually looks like. And it is through Jesus Christ that he is available to us all. Today, only the injustices of what was done on the cross to Jesus Christ is powerful enough to stop all of the injustices in the world. That's the only thing that can stop it. Can I say something to you as I close? If you haven't been treated fairly because of your race, or your age, or your gender, or your economic status, I want to remind you today that you have a Savior who understands, because he was treated unjust as well. If you are not part of a family, of the body of Christ, if you don't have a home, church that you fit into, come on over to the Potter's House North, because we promise to love you. We may not get everything right, but I want to tell you, the one thing that we plan to do is to understand that without each other and without being each other's brother and each other's keeper, we will never fulfill the destiny that God has given us to fulfill. I pray for you today. I pray for the nations of the world. I pray for Minneapolis. I pray for Texas. I pray for New York. I pray for Arizona. I pray for California. I pray for all Florida. I pray for every state in the union. I speak peace in the name of Jesus. I speak peace to every raging spirit. I speak, oh God, that you would arise in the middle of all of this. I pray, God, that you would calm this storm. I pray that, God, you won't stop until you uproot everything that is not like you. I pray that you go into the highest places in our nation and that you pull down the sin of partiality. Bring it down on every level, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you will hear the cries of those who feel like no one is hearing them, and that you will speak, God, in high places, and you will shake this nation and once again cause us to understand that I am my brother's keeper. that nobody is better than anybody else. Deal with us, oh God, and we'll give you praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name. Woo! Lord, have mercy, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to have you join us online every Sunday morning at 9 and 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Streaming live at www.tphnd.org/watchnow or through our Potter's House North app.